From WIPR, I'm Sheila Kast. We're on the record. Each year, thousands of young people with autism graduate from high school. For many, the transition to adulthood can be bumpy, with gaps in services and difficulty finding a good fit for work or higher education. We talked to Kylie Law, Research Director for the Interactive Autism Network, and Pamela Beck, an advocate with the Howard County Autism Society, about how to help young people with autism journey into adulthood. And we hear from Brandon Beck, who is on the autism spectrum, waited 7 years to get a housing voucher, and now lives with a roommate. He describes the benefits of living independently.
That I have the freedom to live in my own apartment, make my own decisions.
It's On the Record after the news.
You're listening to On the Record, the podcast, a service of your public radio, 88.1 WYPR. Find more podcasts online at wypr.org. And tell us what you think. Send an email to ontherecord@wypr.org.
Good morning, I'm Sheila Kast. We're On the Record. The National Autism Indicators Report, published by A.J. Drexel Autism Institute at Drexel University, found that young adults with autism were more than four times more likely to live with their parents during their early 20s than their peers do. Just one in five young adults on the autism spectrum lived independently between exiting high school and their early 20s. Furthermore, more than a third of young adults with autism did not work or continue their education after high school. Circumstances which can contribute to social isolation. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention reports that about 1 in 68 children has autism spectrum disorder. Autism is a developmental disability that can cause social, communication, and behavioral challenges. Each year, thousands of young people with autism exit high school in the U.S. While the transition to adulthood can be rocky for any teen, young adults on the autism spectrum may face particular challenges. April is National Autism Awareness Month, and joining me to discuss this tricky transition to adulthood that faces families and individuals with autism is Kylie Law. Kylie Law is Research Director of the Interactive Autism Network, housed at the Kennedy Krieger Institute. She's also a research associate in the Department of Pediatrics at the Johns Hopkins Hospital. Her son Isaac has autism. Welcome to On the Record.
Thank you for having me.
The Interactive Autism Network is housed at the Kennedy Krieger Institute. Tell us about the network.
Yeah, so our network started in 2006. We started the network at Kennedy Krieger because we knew that the voices of families were not being heard and were not being well represented in autism research. So the goal was to link families with researchers.
Help us understand, what is it about the transition from adolescence to adulthood, that's an especially vulnerable time for individuals with autism?
Sure. So this is a problem that I would say we are really just beginning to understand, especially as this new wave of young adults with autism are reaching adulthood. But the problems have to do with the fact that there's no more services. So when you are in the education system, there's a federal mandate that you receive services. And most kids receive these services through the school system. So once you graduate and leave the school system, the services quit.
So what kind of services are all of a sudden not there that a family might still be depending on?
Right. So speech and language therapy, a lot of times kids are receiving this all the way through high school. Occupational therapy, behavioral therapy, transportation. I mean, just, you know, filling your normal day with activities. When you're in school, that's what you're doing. Once you're out of school, all of that disappears.
Families often refer to the time when their child leaves high school as the services cliff. Why is that an apt metaphor?
Again, it gets back to the fact that all of a sudden, the services stop. Once you graduate, there's no school bus that comes on Monday morning to pick up your child. And the adult services, you don't actually qualify for them until you reach 21. So a lot of kids with autism will actually delay graduation until the age of 21. But even if you qualify for adult services, there's not enough available. They're hard to find. And so it's a cliff. There's nothing there.
So there's a difference in what eligibility means. In school, it means you're going to get that service. The school has an obligation to make sure that someone on the autism spectrum gets the services they need. As an adult, it means you can apply, and maybe that service will have enough of it for you, or maybe not.
That is correct.
This is On the Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cass speaking with Kylie Law of the Interactive Autism Network about the challenges people with autism face when they enter adulthood. Well, I mean, autism affects individuals in different ways. So tell us about the difficulties that poses in trying to come up with some way of addressing the cliff that you just described.
Right. So, you know, each child and each adult with autism is different. And so some adults with autism have, you know, their main difficulty may be social interactions, and finding employment may be difficult for them because of the social difficulties. Other adults with autism may have significant co-occurring conditions like anxiety or mood disorders, and that gives them a whole other set of challenges. You know, I think also if we think about what sort of regular adults do after they graduate, I mean, they usually have a driver's license. A lot of times, young adults with autism, even if they are cognitively okay, they're not able to drive. It's a very stressful and anxiety producing activity.
Yeah.
So then you have transportation issues. So we have transportation issues, employment issues, housing issues, healthcare issues. And it's just a snowball effect. All of these things are happening at once, and it's a lot for families to deal with.
So I assume, because of the other thing that you mentioned earlier, which is the relatively intense services that are available to a young person on the autism spectrum in school, that there's an effort to get ahead of the cliff or get to deal with the cliff by planning ahead.
I think parents are trying to plan ahead, and I feel like schools are trying to help us plan ahead. I do worry that there's just not the money available in the adult services department to meet the rising demand. I mean, we know right now that every year 50,000 young adults with autism turn 18. I don't think there's any, it worries me. I'm not sure what the plan is to help all of these young adults as they enter into the adult age.
You have done surveys to figure out the areas that families of children with autism, and you are such a family, are most concerned about. What are their priorities?
Well, I think for the young adults, the priorities have to do with finding employment, job services. They also have to do with housing. You know, where are these young people going to live? And transportation, that's another big issue. And then, like I mentioned before, the healthcare, accessing physicians that know how to treat adults with autism who may also have other problems.
The report I mentioned earlier, the National Autism Indicators Report, found that 40% of young adults on the autism spectrum never worked for pay between high school and their early 20s. What are some of the challenges that the workplace can pose for individuals with autism?
If we think about what's involved in our daily work, so I interact with a lot of people each day. A lot of adults with autism would not be able to handle that level of interaction. I think there's also a lot of demands in the workplace that add to stress. That can be difficult for a young adult with autism. Intense interest. So a lot of times young adults with autism will have a specific interest, and that's all they want to do or learn about or be involved in. And so sometimes it's hard to find a job that matches your interest.
Hmm. What kind of accommodations might a person with autism need in the workplace?
You know, I think sometimes it's the environment. So a quiet environment sometimes works better for some people on the autism spectrum. Having routines, a set routine that doesn't change, getting rid of it, distractions, that would be another big thing. Having a job coach, someone who's there with you to help you deal with things that might be different than what you expect.
What about other settings, accommodations they might need at school or if they're living independently?
Right. So there are some young adults with autism who go to community college or go to a four-year college. And I think in those settings, a lot of times they may need extra time on tests, just like they had in high school. They may need help organizing their work, which is also a service that they may have received during high school. And there are colleges and universities that have special programs for students with disabilities that help address these types of problems. You know, I think kids or young adults who are living semi-independently, they may need someone to help come in and cook and clean, or sometimes help make sure they're taking their medication if they're taking medication. And then also providing transportation to doctor's appointments or community activities.
And are these the kinds of services that you say you just don't think are available in the magnitude that young people with autism entering adulthood need?
Exactly. They're just not available. I think it's a struggle to find them in my community. And I'm in Baltimore County, and I've struggled in finding them for my own son.
We need to take a quick break now, and when we come back, we're going to speak to another mother and a son about how they navigated his transition to independent living. And Kylie Law will stay with us. I hope you do, too. This is On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. Don't go away.
This is the On the Record podcast, a service of Your Public Radio, member-supported 88.1 WYPR. You can support this podcast and everything you hear from WYPR. Become a member. Come to WYPR.org and click the donate link.
Welcome back to On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. We're talking today about the transition into adulthood and the unique challenges faced during this time by individuals with autism. Kylie Law is still with us. She's research director of the Interactive Autism Network, housed at the Kennedy Krieger Institute. Her son Isaac is on the autism spectrum. And joining us now is Pamela Beck. She serves on the Howard County Autism Society's Housing Committee and helped start the organization's Transition and Adult Committee. And her son Brandon, who has autism, is also with us. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks for having us here.
Pam, when Brandon was growing up, what did you envision for his future?
The best possible life that I could imagine was being a part of society, maybe going to college, maybe getting married, living on his own. And back in that time when I was thinking of that, the statistics didn't support those kinds of ideas. It was 1 in 10,000 for autism at that time.
1 in 10,000 who?
Were on the spectrum.
Were on the spectrum.
So I didn't have much in the way of support, resources, or who to call or what to do.
And so how did that affect your expectations?
I held on to them just kind of like anyone would for dreams that you would have. Why not dream big? Why not think outside the box? There was nobody saying that I couldn't at the time, so that's what I did. And it was really one step at a time. Nothing happened overnight, but I just held true to those visions and dreams and just one foot in front of the other.
Brandon, you're 32 years old now.
Yes.
You moved into your own apartment when you were 30 years old. Were you nervous about living on your own?
I was nervous.
Why? What worried you?
Well, worried about moving into an apartment. Because I was never alone before without my parents. I wasn't scared, but I was nervous that I was going to live on my own. I was on a housing choice voucher waiting list for 7 years. I received a voucher 3 years ago.
And what is it like to live in your own apartment?
Well, I would be by myself. But I have a roommate who stays there with me. Mm-hmm.
And what does your roommate do to help you?
My roommate, Chris, wakes me up in the morning. He makes sure that I am ready for breakfast. Also, he keeps an eye on the time so that I am not late for work. In the evening, Chris makes sure that I stick to my evening schedule to get everything done before bed. Chris is a good roommate.
You mentioned your work. You have worked at the Central Library in Howard County for 10 years. And you have a job coach.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do with your job coach?
Well, my job coach comes in the morning. After breakfast, we go to the fitness room to work out. Then I pack up and get ready to go to work. I work at the library in the circulation department for the past 10 years. I go home on the weekends. On Friday evenings, I am in a theater group that puts on shows. I like to act and sing and dance. On Sundays, I go with my dad to the Howard Community College to play in the band. I play the piano, keyboards, and sing.
This is On the Record on WYPR. I'm Sheila Cast. We just heard Brandon Beck describing some of his activities living in his own apartment. We're talking today about the transition that people on the autism spectrum make from adolescence to adulthood. Brandon's mother, Pam Beck, is with us, and so is Kylie Law, the research director of the Interactive Autism Network. Pam Beck, how did all these activities come to be? It sounds like Brandon has a well-rounded life.
He does. I just followed his lead, basically. He was not talking at the time when he was around 2. He lost his language. And we had a keyboard in our basement. And I'm walking by the basement, and I hear with one finger Beethoven's 5th on one finger. So I call my husband over, and I said, are you listening to some music? And it was Brandon, who had heard from the movie Beethoven about the dog and had somehow decoded it on the piano. So I knew at that point that we had some sort of musical inclination there, so I wanted to follow that. And we tried the theater group, not knowing. Here's somebody that isn't always forthright with speaking and socializing. And we went to the theater group and just totally changed my vision of what I perceived. He was thrilled and happy and out there and being a part of that community.
Kylie Law, can you describe your son Isaac and how he arrived at his current living situation?
Sure. So Isaac now lives in residential supported housing.
He's how old?
He is 24. Mm-hmm. And he is with an organization, an agency called Creative Options. And they do a wonderful job. And they found him a house, and they found him a housemate. And it's working out very well. I mean, it took us a long time to get there, however. I mean, we went through a very tough time where he ran away from home and was hospitalized. And, you know, it was a horrible at that time, but it moved us up to the front of the line for services. And so it's worked out well in the end, but was a hard thing to go through.
Pam Beck, have there been challenges for you and for Brandon since he left your residence?
I would have to say no, because we have had that in our mindset for a very long time, and we prepared and prepared and prepared. He would make PowerPoints of what his apartment would look like, and we would look at apartments, and we would meet other individuals that lived in apartments, and we would talk about it. And when that time came, I think all of us, the entire family, was prepared, and it was very smooth. But it again, that was years. That was years. I had approached Brandon about when he was about 27 and said, would you like to live in your own apartment? And he politely told me that no, he wasn't moving out till he was 30. And he received his voucher when he turned 30. I said, well, okay, we're set. And it came. We found an apartment behind our house so that we can access quickly if we need to, and he can come home if he needs to. And it's been, we haven't looked back.
Brandon, you just shook your head when she talked about moving home. I think you're happy where you are.
Yes.
Do you have any advice?
I do.
Any advice for other young people in your situation?
Well, that I have freedom to live in my own apartment, make my own decisions, hire my own staff, go out into the community, spend time with my girlfriend, Rose. Using my self-directed waiver from the Maryland State Department of Disabilities that I can be just like everyone else.
So you feel like you can be just like anyone else?
Yes.
Pam, what advice would you have for other families who have a young person on the autism spectrum approaching
Create
adulthood?
Create that vision early.
Create the vision early.
Yep. Explain. Using a tool called a person-centered plan, always updating it, always taking those positive steps, having good outcomes to just moving forward wherever you are in the journey. Always keep moving towards the goal.
Was Brandon involved in using that plan?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. He and his staff would update it all the time. We made it fun for him. We used pictures. And he knew that the whole, every step was always, he was included in the process.
Kylie Law, for parents who are feeling overwhelmed by the process of planning for this transition, what resources do you recommend?
Well, I think there's a number of online resources that are useful. I think Autism Speaks actually has some very good toolkits that help parents plan through this process. I also think we have some local resources here in Baltimore. I think the Hussman Center at Towson University has some wonderful resources for families. I think the Autism Society of Howard County and also the Chesapeake chapter have wonderful resources.
The Maryland Department of Disabilities? What kind of resource are they for parents these days?
Well, they are the funding stream for individuals, any individual that needs funding to supports.
In other words, when a young person goes from being in school and getting services through school mostly, it would be through the Department of Disabilities.
Once they transition out and 21, mm-hmm. It's the transitioning youth.
And so beyond the stream of money, which is certainly important, what did they mean in your family's case?
Well, we automatically went to a model that was self-directed that seemed to open the door wide open for our individual needs here for our son. You have a service coordinator that is a partner with that. And as when you do self-direction, you bring in other people of your community that kind of now are your team players. Doctors, neighbors, family, friends. And now you have a lot of ears and a lot of opportunity because everybody brings opportunity from their own life. And so you've expanded that whole opportunity now in one session, sitting around a table trying to navigate somebody's life. Somebody could say, oh, I can help with this. Or why don't you do this? A network of people come together. And it's very powerful.
Kylie Law, do you think more resources and more good things for families to rely on are becoming available?
I do think that more is coming available. I think it's taking a lot of time, but I see things happening in our community that weren't there 10 years ago or 5 years ago. So I think there are more things coming available. It's just going to take a little bit more time.
Is there a particular piece of advice that you think parents need to hold on to?
Well, I would go back to something that Ms. Beck said is, I think plan big, keep planning, and have a plan B, C, and D.
I appreciate you're all talking to us. This is really important for us to understand. Kylie Law is Research Director of the Interactive Autism Network housed at the Kennedy Krieger Institute. She's also a Research Associate in the Department of Pediatrics at the Johns Hopkins Hospital. Pamela Beck is a volunteer with the Howard County Autism Society. Her son, Brandon Beck, works at the Central Library in Howard County and is a musician. He's on the autism spectrum, too. This is On the Record. I'm Sheila Cass. Thanks for listening. Join us again tomorrow.